Okay, this is the final episode of In the Change Room, brought to you by the good people of Bright Rock. I'm Kawunda Ntunja, Supersport commentator. I'm with Johan Kutsia from supersport.com, and also now for the first time, the producer of In the Change Room, Zamo Moloi. He's also joining us. He had a great night at the Players Awards, also brought to you by Bright Rock on Tuesday night, and he's going to share a lot of what happened there.
Yeah, I did it in your stead.
Hi, my name is Sebele Senatla.
I'm Paul True.
Hi, I'm Carl Brown, and you're listening to In the Change Room.
Yeah, I was meant to be there, but unfortunately, or fortunately, whichever way you might see it, but in this case, let's say unfortunately, I had to attend a recording of the Paga Rugby Show, where we had Spurals Tole, actually, from the Kings in the mix. Johan, how are you keeping?
I'm all well in yourself.
I'm trying, brother. I'm trying.
Yeah, it's almost December now. It was a long, hard rugby season, a long, hard slog, and we all deserve a good rest. I think we've got the sevens coming for rest, but the rest of it, yeah, let's sliding into the end of the year, sliding into relaxing mode now.
How, talking about relaxing mode, how was the awards?
I'm glad I went in your stead, because I partly thought I was going there to have fun, but then it ended up being work, but I still had fun. Great atmosphere, crowds, fans, the rugby players, the willing to talk. I think it was an opportunity for them to let their hair down. Mm. You had the likes of Cornel Hendricks, Hachiva Daimani, dancing in leather pants and leather tops.
And he's a dancer. He's the heck of a dancer, that man.
You know, Hustler himself there with his own sneaker brand. But it was beautiful. It was really great to see.
Yeah, Chris Dry rapping out here.
Yeah, it was quite good. It was quite good.
Oh, some Vanilla Ice vibes. Anyway, tell me, I saw Siya Kolisi came with that young kid that cried after he gave him his boots during the bus tour.
Yeah.
So that was quite a moment, wasn't it?
It was. I mean, he actually received Cheslin Kolbe's award all the way from, because Cheslin is obviously in France. Mm. See himself doing a bit of jet setting. Wasn't he in France the weekend? I saw him on Instagram with his wife and Cheslin.
He went over to celebrate Cheslin's award, actually.
Yeah.
Cheslin was named World Player of the Year or whatever in France.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so Cheslin just got an award as the best player that side. And Siya Kolisi was there. Frans Steyn was there. Dwayne Vermeulen was there. Mm. They also got an award for the box being, you know, obviously celebrating winning the World Cup.
Tuesday night, it was the third annual Bright Rock Players' Choice Awards. Mm. They were held in Johannesburg. Truly a party.
Crowd favorite Hershey Yankees collected the best off the bench and hashtag love change awards.
As we now know, Peter Seftetoy cleaned up at the awards. So in addition to being a World Cup winner, he's a Rugby World Player of the Year and PSDT, or what's the acronym?
Yeah, correct. PSDT.
He also won the Players Player of the Year accolade, Defender of the Year, and Forward of the Year.
Winner is Peter Seftetoy!
It's always nice to get awards like this, but you never play for it. It's a massive team sport, and there's no I in team, so everyone says that, and I can just vouch for that. It's a massive honor for me to be here, and it's just a pity that not everyone can accept an award like this. So yeah, I'm off the team. I'm just so humbled, and yeah, it's a massive honor for me. And yeah, like you've seen, South Africa is the best at the moment, and hopefully we'll be able to keep it there.
You're staying with the Stormers, right? I'm correct. What does it take for you to drop this? I was speaking to other players, forget this moment and create other moments going into 2020 Super Rugby. Stormers are yet to win Super Rugby. Is that more motivation for you to say, you know what, the World Cup was great, I want to do this for my franchise?
Yeah, if you've seen in the past, South African as rugby players, we all are mentally not as strong, because after every World Cup we've won, we've been through a dip. It took us 12 years to win it again. So hopefully we'll be able to get stronger mentally, and of course trying to keep and be the best. I think that's my motivation. I think that's what we're trying to achieve for South African rugby as well.
Yeah, Peter, there's no I in team. There's also no I in beer. There's also no I in brandy. So I'm sure that the celebrations went deep into the night. Johan, Peter Seftetoy, he's a machine.
He is. What a fantastic year he had. He was just, as you say.
Couple of years.
He's been building up, and all the accolades are so well deserved. And I think this is probably as important as all the rest, the Tuesday Night Award, because that was his fellow players. No, that's his peers recognising him for all the hard work and his massive engine and just all the hits he puts in. It was a lot of work throughout these last couple of years, but it's paying off, and I'm glad he's got all the recognition he deserves.
Yeah, it's always interesting, like when you read up on a guy's like backstory. So when Peter Steph Du Toit started playing loose forward for the Springboks, he really struggled. If you think back, Johan, the Japan game at the World Cup 2015.
I remember, yeah.
The England Test match where he struggled on defense, just, you know, positioning himself. And when you go even deeper and you hear about his story that at school he was playing flank, and then the first team coach said to him he must move to lock, and he said he'll never do that, and then he got dropped to the second team. And how, you know, he's fought his way back to the actual position that he believes he is. And he became, dare I say it, the best in the world, because he's a World Rugby Player of the Year.
Where's that
as
coach
a blindside
now?
Flank. Yeah, so he's currently the best blindside flanker in the world.
There's more to that backstory there. The fact that he made that 2015 World Cup was already amazing. Because just before that, he had a serious knee injury of the ligaments that snapped. And there's the story that he was in hospital. And the surgeon said it's going to take you, you know, at least 6 months before you can be ready. And his dad was with him. And he spoke to the surgeon and said, is there no way, other way? And the surgeon said, yeah, just as an aside, if he gets a donor for ligaments, maybe then we can do it quickly. And his dad said, all right, yeah, I am. Yeah, give me my gun.
What?
They cut out his dad's ligaments, put it in there, and then it was ready in a couple of weeks. Yeah, so yeah.
Talk about stronger together.
Quite. So now his dad's walking around with Peter Steph's dodgy knee. So it's like, all those awards are for the family, actually.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well,
speaking of knees, a certain Warren Whiteley missed out on the World Cup because of a cartilage injury and a cartilage issue with his knee. And he's been considering the idea of, obviously it's been in the news that he potentially wants to coach. He's thinking about it. It's a bit touch and go right now as to whether or not he'll continue playing or he's moving up into the box.
Look, can go back as far as 5 years where I've always wanted to coach after playing, and I always had that plan to learn and to develop whilst I was playing.
Yeah.
And I was fortunate enough to be in a leadership position and to be in somewhat of a teaching role within a team. And that really helped me to learn more about the game and to develop that side. And when I was injured now during Currie Cup and I was busy with my rehab, I was fortunate enough to get the opportunity with Ivan van Rooyen Cash, who's now the Super Rugby coach, along with other coaches, to allow me to start coaching.
Yeah.
To learn from them, to develop, and you know, but being a player is not my identity. I love this game. So if I can coach, if I can support in whatever role, I would love it, you know. So I wanna keep developing and contributing to the game of rugby. I mean, this is the platform that I've been given. And I want to, you know, serve and hopefully make individuals better and teach and coach. So, you know, if I'm going to play again, I'm not sure. I mean, yes, I mean, I would love to. That's what I'm hoping for, you know. But I am preparing myself. I think I'm trying to be proactive and learn and develop that side.
Now, Lions, whether you're staying or not, whether you're continuing playing or not, Lions have gone through a lot of transition in the last 3 and a bit years.
Yes.
You obviously, you're talking about transition, changing, pulling up those young players who are now creating a new identity along with yourselves. What are the key metrics of success that you guys will say, next season, if we achieve this, this will have been a success? Elton was saying that we're going to get some stick in 2020. Things are not going to be easy, but yeah, we're going to stick at it. What for you, coaching staff, playing staff, are the metrics of success for you next year?
Well, look, I think as we know what we have within this group, and we believe we've got a very, very talented group of individuals that can surprise a lot of teams next year. And, you know, we think we can go quite far in the competition. But again, we're going to focus on our systems, And, you know, we're going to take it week for week like we have in the past. We still believe that's extremely important. But we got a bit of a culture shift, you know, adding a bit of salt, maybe a bit of pepper, some cinnamon on top.
Do you mind expanding a little bit about what that culture shift is?
I think it's a new generation. It's a new generation of youngsters. You know, some people like to call them Generation Z, but it's a new generation, you know, and we believe they need to go out there and you know, really be opportunistic, and we want them to believe in themselves. We want them to make mistakes. We want them to back themselves. And that's what we're looking forward to as coaches, you know. So we're extremely excited. We believe we've got a good group. Patience is going to be key. That was one of the metrics. We need to be patient. There will be hard lessons learned, but we know we'll develop and we'll learn with time, and it will come.
Interesting insights there from Warren Whiteley. Obviously, because of the injuries that he suffered, now he's, you know, he's putting all his chips towards coaching, which is a good thing. You know, we always want guys to share knowledge and to give back. But also this Lions side, such a young squad, young coaching group. And I'm just, you know, just looking across. Johan, I'm going to bring you in now. So I'm just looking across the spectrum. Like, New Zealand have lost 50 players between 2019 Super Rugby season to 2020 Super Rugby season. 50 players. And obviously we also going to suffer huge losses of players, but our official squads haven't come out yet. But just looking at that Lions squad and the fact that Cash is now the head coach, Johan, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, it's a very, very young coaching outfit, as you say. And the problem with that is a lack of experience. And I say this with all due respect, because if things go wrong, there's not a lot to fall back on in terms of experience. Whereas all the heads have a better way to normally handle these things or handle crisis periods. Now, I say this not wishing anything bad on them. I hope all success, and I hope they never have to deal with these issues. Mm. But we know rugby and we know what the reality is of that. So let's see how they go. Warren is dead right, and what an exciting bunch of youngsters they have coming through there. They've got some new muscle up front as well, so they want to be competitive in the scrums. I'm happy to see that. I'm happy to see that at Super Rugby level people are bringing, that's still the traditional parts of the game are still there. Let's see how it goes. Let's hope the crowd is there. That's always important in Joburg. And from the beginning, don't have to wait until they make the finals again before you start going to Ellis Park.
You know,
what do you reckon about our SA teams going forward?
You know, for me, I'll just hop back onto that Lions thing. Mm. So I'd been really looking forward, it was like a Christmas present, really looking forward to seeing Wandisile Simelane come into his own.
Sure.
Ever since seeing those amazing performances at Craven Week. And I think this year is definitely him and the rest of the back line, opportunity for them to make a mark. Whether they lose or not, Warren spoke about there's a need to be patient, but I think I'm really looking forward to seeing the Lions actually, those young players put up their hands. Win or lose, we'll see. But in terms of the greater spectrum of South African rugby, I was really, you know, teams change. There's a lot of transition. Squads change. I mean, the Bulls have lost a chunk of experience there, you know. I was really hoping that Dwayne Vermeulen would actually stay longer. I remember comparing him to Andrea Pirlo last year, saying that, you know, if he stuck around, he could be Juventus's Andrea Pirlo in terms of converting everything that's happening around them. But it's unfortunate, but it gives an opportunity for younger players. It gives an opportunity for coaches and unions to be intentional about transformation, about bringing players up, about actually going out there and searching for these players. So for me, it's difficult, but it's also a bit of a win-loss-win-win situation.
It's a good thing you mentioned Wandisile Simelane Mzamo, because the kid's got a lot of potential. I watched him in the Currie Cup this year and I felt, you know, finally the kid is getting his rhythm at senior level.
Yeah.
So, I can't wait to see him play against guys like Anton Leonard-Brown and Goodhue and against, you know, the cream of the Super Rugby crop. and see how he fares against them, and even against guys like Luka Nyoam,
right?
For that matter. Even though I still personally feel Am would be a better 12, he's a world-class 13 already.
Yeah.
But I still feel I'd love to see Am play at 12. He would be a totally different type of a 12. Mm. I remember having a conversation with Jean de Villiers as well, and he felt that Am would probably be a decent 12. What are you looking forward to in terms of young talent coming up next year, Jan?
Well, next year, the biggest thing about young and inexperienced is the coaching outfits everywhere. You've got Sean Everett, who's new at Super Rugby. You've got John Dobson, that's new at Super Rugby. Ivan van Rooyen. Coach Puerta, this is his first full season at that level. So I'm not expecting a lot from our teams, even though we have some exciting talent. But as you say, there's also been a lot of changes, especially in New Zealand. Mm. So, yeah, I think it's all open. I don't have much hopes for any of our team, but I think it's open. It's an open competition.
Obviously, Mzamo was busy on Tuesday night at the awards, speaking to a whole lot of players. But you also spoke to SuperSport presenter of the Cricket World Cup, presenter of the Rugby World Cup, presenter of Nedbank Golf Challenge. Yeah, she's busy this
day. She's lady. The one.
Elma Smith, let's hear what she had to say.
I'm so excited, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the third annual Bright Rock Players' Choice Awards by the players for the players. Round of applause.
So the players' organization approached me in 2016 to come work with them on marketing the players' organization's efforts. And the players at a board meeting said, you know what we'd really love is just an event where we can have some fun with our fans and our partners, where we can wear what we want and just let loose a bit.
Thank goodness.
And they said, you know what, it almost doesn't matter how you achieve this, but an award show is probably a shortcut there. Unfortunately, 2016 wasn't a great year for South African rugby, if you recall. So I shopped it around a lot. In 2017, Stefan ter Blanche, credit to him, from the SA Rugby Legends Association, said to me, you know who I think I should introduce you to? Suzanne Stevens at Bright Rock. And we had one meeting with Suzanne. She said to me, tell me what you want to do. And I said to her, there's this idea that I've been walking around with for 18 months. It's called the Bright Rock Players' Choice Awards. It features awards like the Most Improved Player, which we started calling the Love Change Award, the forward, the backline player, the best off the bench, because we all know the bomb squad is what wins us matches. And then the marquee moment is the player's player of the year, because there is nothing like getting the kudos of your peers. It's a lot getting it from the media. It means an immense amount when you're getting it from the fans. And of course, it's great to be selected, but to have your peers, the people that you play along with and against on a weekly basis, choose you as the one who made the mark this year. It's usually the most treasured, I've heard, award that you can win. And that's what this event is built on.
Keeping on that theme, on being applauded by your contemporaries, applauded by your fans and those that you work with. Kaunda, your commentary, All-Star commentary in particular, is pretty much the soundtrack of expression for South African sports right now. Fans, current and former players, are really getting behind it. Now, having said that, leaning on that you're a former player yourself, what can you expand for us what it means as a player to get recognition from fans, but also from the guys that you line up against as well?
I think it's massive. Obviously, rugby is a team sport. So just talking now from a playing point of view, I'll touch on the commentary a bit later. But from a playing point of view, you know, when you know that the guys next to you, they value you, they back you 100%, that also gives you a little bit of oomph as well, you know, that, you know, they know that you know what you're doing.
Sure.
And it gives you a lot of confidence. If the players back you, coaches back you, you know, then you can achieve a lot with the tools that, you know, the one up above has given you. So, yeah, that's massive, you know. And just talking about the commentary,
Shampoopo, Shampeezy.
No, the feedback has been awesome. Obviously, I'm not going to take all the credit. We've got a group of commentators.
Yeah, great team.
Yeah, there's five of us that worked in the World Cup. Makai Jack obviously worked in the World Cup. He's a former SARU legend, played in the apartheid era, entertainer as well. We had Alfred Mzizi, who was assistant coach for Heineken Meyer. He was part of that group. Kaya Malotana, former Springbok.
In the change room alumni.
Yeah. And who else? And Lonwabo Mtimka, obviously. Yeah. Can't forget him. He was, myself and Lonwabo were the two anchors. So Lonwabo, junior Springbok prop, played many games for Border. I think his name is up in those placards. They played like 200 games or something like that. He never wanted to leave East London. Even though he got offers to play other some big provinces, he was happy just staying in East London. But obviously, he's also grown a lot as a commentator. And you know what? I think that just listening to, you know, what Hugh Bladen has done in his career.
Ledge.
Now Matthew Pearce, Omeni Kwatsen, John van Rensburg. These are guys that, you know, set the platform at SuperSport. And, you know, when we entered as a younger group, let's call it the younger group Xhosa, we were told, okay, this is the type of commentary that we do here at SuperSport, which is roll call commentary. So instead of saying Kaunda passes it to Johan, Johan passes it to Mzamo, you say Kaunda, Johan, Mzamo.
I receive.
You know, so because we're doing TV and people can see I'm passing the ball, so they just need to know who's got the ball, not I'm passing. So I mean, those small things, you know, I need about 10 hours to speak about commentary. So let's move along. Ruan Pina obviously made a comeback, having played a lot in Europe. He's come back now, great in the Currie Cup for the Cheetahs. I think he was man of the match in the semi-final. Could have been man of the match as well in the final, can't remember. But he had a few things to say as well.
For me as an older guy coming back, just to see the freedom that with which the guys train and play and just the enjoyment they have for it. You know, it helps me as an older guy to do that as well. So sometimes the body doesn't feel great on a weekly basis, but you know, to see the enthusiasm to go to training, to play games, you know, that spurs you on and that helps you. But yeah, it's been really great to come back home, to be part of the Cheetahs, and then within a few months to be part of a Currie Cup winning side. And you know, hopefully we can build on that, keep a lot of the players in Bloemfontein that we've managed to build over the last few years. And yeah, it's a great time to be involved in South African rugby.
Now, there have been rumours, I'm not sure whether they found it or not, that Francois Steyn is coming back to South Africa and coming back to Bloemfontein. Is he coming back to the Cheetahs?
I'm a good friend of Francois and I saw him in the week, but I think he's definitely wanting to come back to South Africa. Whether that's going to be the Cheetahs or not, I'm not too sure about that. I hope, I wish I could have given you a better answer, but I think you'll see Francois Steyn back in South Africa, but when and where that will be, I'm not too sure.
There's an old Xhosa saying, "Umdom dalagalash wango manzo mngusho." Basically, to sum it up in English, it's just saying that you don't throw away experience.
Yes.
You don't throw away a veteran.
Well said.
In Xhosa, there's a little bit of an extra spice. Yeah. But anyway, your thoughts on Ruan? Your thoughts on, you know, some of these legends of veterans coming back?
I'm really excited. It's a relative recent development that we've seen. And we actually had Dewald Potgieter on the show a couple of weeks ago, and we discussed it at length. And he says there's a lot of interest from former players to come finish their careers, come plow back as players. You made the money in Europe now. If you want to settle back in South Africa, just as long as the unions make it worth your while and give you enough freedom and time for you to start a life outside of rugby, I think most guys would be keen. And we're seeing it pop up a lot. We've got Yanni du Plessis this week that revealed back to the Lions. Mornay Steyn's coming.
Is he going to be playing for the Lions?
As far as I know, yes. Yeah, he's coming back to the Lions.
Wow, Doki.
Yay.
and that's obviously with an eye of starting a practice here, a medical practice. And then you got Jean Ducreux and Mornay Steyn back in Pretoria.
Yeah.
The guys are coming from everywhere. And the more they are, the more excited I'm getting. Because all of a sudden, we're not just losing to Europe. All of a sudden, everything we've lost to Europe comes back, but with some interest. We bring a lot of knowledge and a lot of experience in, and we can teach our youngsters that. So it's not one-way traffic anymore, and that can only be good for our game.
Also spoke to Chris Dry. So now,
Vanilla Ice, you say?
Yes.
Apparently, he also rapped at the awards. But let's hear what he had to say.
And I think it's very important for us to be successful this whole season. And I don't think we would sacrifice a tournament success for Olympic gold medal. I think what we're going to try and do is try and be consistent throughout the season and then chase that medal.
Your outlook towards the Springbok Sevens in Cape Town, this is a couple of weeks from now, you've got the ladies sevens opportunity to play there as well. What do you think it's going to do for the game to see the men's and the women's team playing on the same pitch?
Yeah, well, I think it's about time, you know. I think, women's rugby has always been kept on the side, it's always put on the second field. And you know, the game has developed in such a manner that the women's system is equal to the men's. I think at a time they were underfunded and there weren't as many professional teams. But I'm honest when I'm saying that they are a very competitive circuit at the moment. I think, you know, they need to play on that on the world stage. I think they deserve to play on the Cape Town Stadium. And, yeah, looking forward and excited. And looking forward to see our girls, you know. It's the first time they get the opportunity to play on that field. So, you know, I'm looking forward to it.
Kristaline Steenebel, obviously first time that SA Women's team will be playing at the Cape Town Sevens. What are your thoughts going into it? Will you be fit in time? Is the team ready? What's the mood like?
So personally, I'm buzzing, if I can use that slang. Yeah. I'm going to be ready. I was going to be ready for Dubai. So we planned it very well. I'm looking forward to getting back on the field, which will be Thursday after I get back home, to integrate with the team for the first time, hit some bags and to see where the hip's at. And then as a team, we've been trying to prepare as well as we can. Obviously, we're looking forward to playing a high level of rugby, which we don't get to do that much in Africa, in South Africa. So we're looking forward to the challenge. It's going to be a big one, but we're up for it, and we're hoping that the South African crowd gets behind us, because we're still developing and we just want to play a good brand of rugby for the South Africans.
Johan, gosh, man. How do you feel about the women's sevens side?
I'm excited. I want to see this women's side, our side, grow. It was mentioned there that they're not used to playing at a high standard, but that'll change for the next couple of months. They do Dubai, then they do Cape Town Sevens in front of a massive crowd, you know, Cape Town is. So I'm excited for them if they can lift their standards. I see no reason why in the medium to long term they can't be as good as our men's side, and that doubles our fan base. And that's really good for South African rugby in general if we can have a really strong representative women's side playing there.
This is Warren Whiteley, and you're listening to In the Change Room.
We look at, you know, I just read Beast's book. It took me 2 days to read it, actually. It
version very, 1 or version 2?
Version 2.
Okay.
Yeah. I think version 1 had like a small tweak. Version 2 had a small tweak from version 1. But it took me 2 days to read it. I thoroughly enjoyed it. But something that, you know, was always at the back of my mind is how Beast ended his career on a high.
Yeah.
He was outstanding in the World Cup final. Outstanding for the Barbarians 2 weeks later as well. And I couldn't help but think, Johan, that the reason why he was so good, he had a genuine, classy, lucid prop behind him, pushing him for a starting berth. And that definitely had to help Steven Kitsoff. What are your thoughts on the kid?
Steven Kitsoff has been, my lasting memory of him will always be when they won the Junior World Cup in Cape Town,
2012,
against the All Blacks that day, and he ran off the field. And his dad was in the stands, and he jumped up the stands, and they were hugging and crying. And I thought, yeah, that big man with that big Springbok future ahead of him, crying in his dad's shoulder, for you know, that was such a beautiful moment. He had a special place in my heart since that day. He's always had the talent. I was a little critical of Alistair in the beginning when he chose him for the Springboks without the rule change then, and he was based in Europe, but we always knew that he had the talent. It was just a matter of will he get the opportunities, and now he's got them. With Beast out of the way, he's obviously the next one. But then the question is, what do we do with the bomb squad? Who are we going to put in there? Because what Kitsy brought off the bench for us in the last 20 minutes was that's just as important as what Beast did.
Yeah, but you'll get Steven Kitsoff and Lizo Koboka coming in.
Oh, yeah, you got Lizo back. Yeah. That's
he'll
right.
He'll come in with a lot of power.
And then my favorite, Oxente, he's also going to push for a place there. So, yeah, no, we've always been blessed with loose head props in this country. I don't think that's going to stop. But, yeah, you're right. Kitsoff at the top of the pile now, and he'd probably stay. As long as he stays fit, he'll stay there for a while, and it's good. It's good. Let the other guys push and let him set the standard for them to chase.
So before we listen to Stephen's interview, Mzamo, you were the one who interviewed him.
Actually, it was a friend of the podcast, Tabang Dao, who also scored a ticket.
He got in via the back door. But anyway, he got in. How do you feel about Stephen? Did you get a chance to meet him on Tuesday night?
We did. He was actually the guy. These guys are probably like their cheek muscles must be exercised to finish now. But these guys, in every situation, every opportunity, they're willing to talk to people, they're willing to take photos. And they come across as guys who've decided, with Rassi and everyone, that make the important things important things. And a lot of the time you worry about, is this too much? Is this too much for these guys? But they're able to be in the moment, be calm and say, you know what, these guys are here for me. And that's what they're doing. And they were great.
Make no mistake, they were still celebrating.
Oh, absolutely. They had to hold back. Come on.
They had to hold back the entire year. The motto within the team for this year was, let the main thing be the main thing. And the main thing was winning the World Cup.
Yeah.
And now that they've won it, the guys can let off some steam. And yeah, I'm glad. Of course, they're smiling. They had to hold in their smiles for a long while. I'm so happy for all of them.
Stephen, the beast is retired. You're going to be the preeminent loose head prop for us. Does that come with added pressure and expectations?
Yes, definitely. But first of all, I just want to say Beast was an incredible leader and such a role model for me. And I mean, working with him and working alongside him was an incredible journey. And I learned so much from him. And I think he had an incredible career. And if I'm lucky enough to take over from him and continue what he's doing, that will be amazing.
And see, sorry, just help me understand. Are you from Paul Roos or Paul? Or you at Paul Roos?
Yeah, Paul Roos in Stellenbosch.
So, I mean, you played rugby in a beautiful part of the country. Again, at Paul Roos, you're also playing for fun. Do you play for fun now? Or is it all just business, quite technical, everything's worked out to a T and you just need to play your role? Or do you still have fun?
No, I enjoy the physical aspect of the game. Definitely, it's a job and you have to give your all and be super professional. But myself, physically, I enjoy the physical confrontation. I enjoy scrumming. I enjoy running with the ball. I enjoy tackling. So that aspect of the game is still so much fun for me and I enjoy that 80 minutes on the field.
Stephen Kitsoff, obviously, great two seasons with the Boks, now world champion. Still holds a record in South Africa as the only player to win the Junior World Cup and the Currie Cup on the same year, 2012. Anyway, moving along, Johan, what is your wish for the year 2020? Last comments.
For me, I want another sevens title. That is above all the year. And that Blitzbok team has, I know the Springboks have taken over, but for the rest of the 4 years, they give you the chance to celebrate every year, and yes, especially in the Olympics and an Olympics year as well. So yeah, that's what I'm pinning my hopes on. I hope that all our young teams and all the young players come through. I hope all our teams understand now with the new contracting system and new coaches in place that you have to put a lot more value on player development at junior level because you will be losing them overseas now because you no longer have that Springbok jersey as a carrot for them to stay home. So that's what I hope in the long term this year will be remembered for. This was the year we really started taking talent development seriously.
Zamo, your wish for 2020?
Sheikh Soyizwapi standing on the podium with a gold medal almost a year after Siya Kolisi does the same with the Webb Ellis Trophy. Looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to, as a lot of the guys have said in these interviews, which you can listen to, we'll be publishing them over the next couple of days, full-length interviews. A lot of these guys saying they want to build on the momentum. They want the Super Rugby teams to build on the momentum of this World Cup. And definitely wanting to see South Africa, at least two South African teams going far in the playoffs in Super Rugby. That, for me, would be good return. And maybe even one of the teams that haven't actually won one, i.e. The Sharks and the Stormers, actually, who knows, going all the way.
Yeah, you know, for myself, you know, I've been seeing the Sevens win this World Sevens Series. Yeah. Obviously, still want to see more. Yeah. But I think for me, what would be a huge plus for 2020 would be for the Springboks to win the rugby championship. Because for the first time, we then back up what we've done in the World Cup. and we actually do what New Zealand has been doing for decades, which is dominate at that level over a period, a long period of time, consistently being the top. For me, I want to see Siya Kolisi lift that rugby championship again in 2020.
And again.
And then again in 2021 and beat the British and Irish Lions in 2021. But that's a story for next year or the year after. For now, I just wish that we have consistency with the 15th side. And obviously, good luck to the Sevens. Johan, you going to Cape Town, I know. I'll be away hoping to watch the Man United play. I'm going to be over in Manchester for the derby, first of all, on the 7th, and then Everton on the 15th. But anyway, from myself, Kaunda Ndunja, it's been one heck of a series. We've really enjoyed In the Change Room. Hopefully, there'll be more in 2020. And thank you guys for the support. Cheers.